Hour three of the program is just like the WKGN app, powered by Hops and Hollers. It's Thirsty Thursday. Happy hour from 2 to 6 p.m. Captain Muchachos serving food. You know, I've spoken a little ill of Captain Muchachos, I have to admit.
Why?
Because I'm not a big taco guy.
Oh, they're good.
But last Thursday, as I was winning the championship, as the Cuck boys were bringing home the strap.
I see you, Kevin Durant.
That's right. That's right. As the Cuck boys were putting the belt on their waist, and all the pretty girls of Hops and Hollers said, "Who's that champion?" Before that, I'd eaten some Captain Muchachos. And I'd been hating on it a little bit. I said, I don't really like tacos, but the sriracha chicken.
What'd I tell you last week?
I listened to you. It hit the spot. It hit the spot.
Sriracha chicken tacos are the way to go. Captain Muchachos.
Captain Muchachos serving food tonight. Knox Trivia at 8 p.m. That's right. The Cuck boys will be trying to go back-to-back like we're on the cover of Lethal Weapon. The Preds take on the Wild tonight at 8 o'clock. Hops and Hollers is our favorite craft beer store. It's Preds approved. They got Bocce up in the upper beer garden. They'll have the Preds on. I don't know if there's a Thursday night college game. If it does, if there is, it probably sucks. But I know they'll have Warriors versus Celtics. I know they'll have Titans versus Steelers. And I know the Preds versus the Wild will be there. It'll be a party.
What was that earlier? Pitts Puke. Sheepers? What was
Squealers.
It?
Squealers. It wasn't a good was effort by Titans, Bill.
It's all right. No. Good A for effort.
So the guy said he's going to email me, but apparently we've already got some. He said he's going to email me the actual clip, actual radio clip that they got
of Gruden.
But apparently there's already some clips out there. Maybe they're, I don't know if they're clear. You said there's already something on Reddit?
Yeah, I saw one, but it was like all like the, it was like the whole interview.
Okay, I think Houston's trying to break something down too, so.
Well, the details that we've seen is that Brock Huard's apparently coming to Knoxville to call the game. Is that what's happening? Is he coming to do the ESPN game?
That, yes.
And he said, "Oh, man, Brock, I heard you're going into Knoxville. Going to be singing Rocky Top. Oh, I love that song." And then after he went off the air, apparently they said, "Yeah, I know, guys. I know what you wanted to hear. You wanted him to ask us about the Tennessee job, but said he requested that we did not ask him about it." And then somebody made a quote about all the Bleacher Report type stuff. If you're calling something the Bleacher Report type stuff, you're implying that it's false. Because, I mean, I know Bleacher Report's done good at fixing their image, but for a while, Bleacher Report was synonymous with fake news. Any schmohawk was able to write on there and do whatever. Never mind the fact that Bleacher Report's kind of turned into credible. You know, they got some big credible writers on there now.
They have now. They've improved their image, I believe.
But people still think fake news when they think of Bleacher Report. So I don't know if Gruden addressed it as Bleacher Report nonsense, or I don't know if the radio host Brock Huard was. Better not have been Gruden. Oh, it better not have been Gruden.
Surely Gruden, I mean, right after talking about the
how much he
song,
loves it.
Gosh, I don't know. If that's really what he said. He did say it. He did say he loved Rocky Top. I mean, the guys on the phone told me that. So
how'd
he,
that conversation
he
go?
He did say it. It was fine. It was hard to hear because you guys were still talking.
I mean, I was trying to do a radio show here, you know?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't get out of the studio.
Yeah, Charles had you blocked in.
Yeah.
Wasn't your fault.
No.
It was my fault?
No, the guy on the phone told me that he would send me the clip. So, I mean, he confirmed that Gruden had basically said that about Rocky Top, that it was a good song or whatever the original thing the guy said.
It's a great song.
So, yeah, they pretty much confirmed it. It's just a matter of getting the audio. So, once again, something else from Gruden that's like either awesome or, God, what a troll job, you know? Pretty much one or the other at this point.
Do you sound mad?
Who, the guy on the phone?
Yeah.
No, he was fine. He just kind of felt like he was, I don't know, kind of put on the spot.
Ambush?
Yeah.
That's my favorite part, and I haven't had anything. I guess we need to bring it back. The don't call me, we'll call you, where you just kind of ambush people like that. And like, hey, you're on the air with us, and you ask them questions.
Hello, you're live. Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's
usually
on
you don't
them.
Get professionals trying to get the, you know, do their, well, in the middle of their job, in the middle of their show. Brock's probably yelling. I'm sure they have a nicer studio than this, you know, ESPN Seattle. But he's probably seeing the producer in there, like, with this shocked look on his face.
I don't know what to say.
On the phone. He's like, well, what's going on? Because anytime, like, if Ben answers the phone here and the conversation goes longer than, like, 10 seconds, either something's gone wrong or Roger's asking him how his day is. Like, it's one of the two. So imagine the producer having a three-minute conversation with a shocked look on their face.
Yeah, exactly.
So Brock's probably like, what the hell is going on?
Now Brock's trying to figure out who I am.
Now they're going to call us.
We'll take him on the air gladly.
Call in, Brock, if you're listening.
Talk to us. There's nothing wrong with what we did. Just trying to – we're trying to get to the bottom of this.
Investigative journalism, I think, is the correct term.
Exactly.
Gruden Fields Forever says that guy was clearly hiding something. He knows more than he let on. Yeah, the producer knows. The producer knows. He knows Gruden's coming.
No, he was a cool guy. Like, once Ben cut my mic off, I was just talking to him. He's like, I was like, hey, you're not live, man. Everything's good.
John Hodge tweets in that they're talking about your call right now in Seattle.
Nice.
So I guess Brock Huer's like, what the hell just happened there? And he's like, well, some maniacs in Knoxville called us to try to get to the bottom of these groomers.
Nice.
Should we tweet at them and just be like, hey, give us a call?
They're probably doing a show too, it seems like.
Powered by Hops and Hollers.
Yeah, we're all kind of busy right now.
We could combine. Can we conference call it where we're on their air and they're on our air?
That's what I really would have preferred to do.
We just have a dual radio show?
Just takes a couple of good producers hooking it up, you know? And we could have.
Ben couldn't even figure out how to dial the damn number out.
Damn it.
I don't know what you were doing wrong. It wasn't your fault. Look at me, Ben. It's not your fault.
No, sometimes I understand. Like, sometimes on the landline, it's different than the cell phone. It's hard to.
And it was last minute. It was by the seat of your pants. I you know.
Well, no. I mean, that's not an excuse, not being able to dial a number. I don't care. If you tell me, like, right now, hey, dial this number and get a phone call, I'll go over there and dial the number. I don't need a five-minute prep to dial the phone.
No, I'm not.
I think
saying
Ben
that.
Was sabotaging it like the end of Get Out. I think he was trying to hit the wrong number or say that it was busy so that he didn't have to have the awkward conversation because he was scared that he was going to get in trouble. And, Ben was like, I don't want to talk to this producer and try to explain what the hell is going on because he's going to react the way he did.
Look, man, I was told you did not have to push a button to dial out. And then when we went to break, Davey said, oh, yeah, there's a specific way we have to dial out of the station.
Absolutely, there's not.
I thought Davey was in the window saying, don't do this. Stop.
Absolutely, like, there's not. You pick up number two and you dial it out. Here, call my phone if you want. Pick it up and call it. Right now, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone, not your cell phone. No, I'll give you my number right here.
We're getting the number for you.
Pick it up.
I think you might have to press 9 to dial out.
No, you don't. 423-435-5607.
Now everybody has your phone number.
I don't care. I got nothing to hide. I'm a man of the people. Oh, what do you know? Right here, it's ringing. Hey, Ben, what's up, you stupid idiot? You don't have to hit a number to dial out. You don't have to hit a number to dial out.
John,
see, I showed you. And you saw what happened? It ringed.
John just gave his number
or
out
rung.
Of the air.
Whatever the hell the verb is.
Is that going to be the podcast hour net number?
Get
name?
John's number here.
Yeah.
We can cut that out, right?
No, we're not.
Sup, ladies.
Sup, ladies.
It's going to be a whole bunch of dudes. It's going to be just like your Snapchat deal.
Oh,
keep throwing the Snapchat out trying to.
Damn it.
It's going to be a lot of dudes.
Damn it.
Said, okay, now, ladies.
But you saw that it worked, right?
Yeah. I wonder why that worked.
Ben, you saw that it worked, right?
Yes.
He was get-outing us. That's what he was doing. That's exactly what he was doing. He was hitting the wrong number. He was Allison Williams fumbling in her purse, quote-unquote, looking for the keys. And that's a huge spoiler, but it's been out for a year. Go to hell if you ain't seen it yet. That's right.
Was it any good?
It was fantastic.
Never saw it.
It's fantastic. Although I'm kind of worried, like, this feels a little messed up. Like, I kind of am.
Just got the clip.
We'll play on the next break.
He said, please credit ESPN Seattle.
Tell him we will. All right, so you have it on your email?
Yeah, just got it.
Okay, so what we'll do, we'll get you over there getting it in the system, then we'll get it played. I was going to go on this whole tangent about Get Out because they put it as like what the movie's about. It's about like racism, right? It's about scary racism. Are you familiar with what it's with? Like, this black guy goes and visits his white girlfriend's family up in the hills. Turns out they're kind of collecting black people up there. Like, it's got some racial tensions in it. It's supposed to be kind of a scary psychological thriller. It's a great movie. It's fantastic. Like, okay. On Rotten Tomatoes for the longest, it had like 95%. It's great.
That's fine. I'm not going. I mean, the next movie I'm going to go see is tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, it's not in theaters anymore. That was a year ago.
No, I'm just saying,
it just now got the Golden Globe. It got the Golden Globe nomination for Best Comedy or Musical. And Jordan Peele was like, I must have missed the music acts in this movie.
You said it was a documentary.
He said it's a documentary. Like, it's not.
I saw that tweet, but I was just like, yeah, okay.
It's not supposed to be a comedy. It's not supposed to be a funny movie. So, like, yeah, you guys did good. Great movie. You get a Golden Globe potential nomination, but, yeah, it's going to be a comedy, even though it's not supposed to be funny.
Were there funny moments?
Yeah, there were funny moments. There's funny moments in every scary movie.
I don't do scary movies. That's why I don't know.
Or not in every scary movie, but most scary movies, there's some comic relief.
I have seen The Exorcist. I didn't think any of that was funny.
Well, she peed on the carpet. That was kind of funny.
I saw Sinister. Both Sinisters, though, none of those are funny.
I'm trying to think about Sinister. I don't know. I'm like, Chucky. Chucky's got a lot of comedy in it.
Never saw Chucky.
Oh, Chucky, huh? Funny you mentioned that right now.
Child's Play's got a lot of comedy in it. Scream. Like, they got comedy. Like, the slasher films all got some comedic relief. No? Not any comedy ever in scary movies?
I'm not. I don't do scary movies very often. At all. Ever.
Okay. Well,
thank you, though.
Okay. Whatever.
So I should just watch scary movies for the comedy?
No, you shouldn't. That's the point. Like, it's okay to be funny in there, but it doesn't have to be. Just whatever. Send it to break, Cody. Let's get this in there. Charles keeps derailing me. We're trying to get something done here. Damn it. 865-546-8200 is Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Want to welcome NutriShop to the Fox Sports Knoxville family. Hey, welcome NutriShop. Happy to have you. That's right. Fox Sports Knoxville growing. More people liking what we're doing, coming on board, and we owe a big thank you to you, the fans that keep listening. NutriShop offers the lowest prices guaranteed. That's right. Price match on all competition. You find something cheaper on the internet, take it into them. They will match it. Free samples, free meal plans, and free in-body analysis. The in-body machine is state-of-the-art and tracks all muscle, mass, and fat. It'll tell you your caloric intake. Kid can't even read. And tracks if the supplements you are using are working in your body. Located off Kingston Pike, right there, Cedar Bluff area, in front of Academy Sports. You know where that's at, Cody? You know where Academy's at?
Mm-hmm.
Then you know where the NutriShop is at. It's right in front of it, the little center in front of it. Go by, see them, take advantage of all their offerings, price match guarantee, all that free analysis. Tell them we sent you. Huge thank you to NutriShop for coming on board. Ben, you got the audio ready to go? Ben, you're a great producer. I know I don't tell you enough when you're here. I'm kind of like the dad who's tough on you in your face, but secretly really loves you. You're a great producer. All right, here's John Gruden. Cody, you got the tags ready. They want us to make sure we give credit to ESPN Seattle, 710.
710 ESPN Seattle. This is their interview.
Now, is this the Brock Heward show? Do we have the name of the show? Does it get the name of the show. We'll tag it on the end, too.
My man, Kyle Brown, I'm assuming he's the producer, he said please credit 710 ESPN Seattle. Yeah, John Gruden with Brock Heward on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Boom. Got it. Appreciate them
Coach,
sending us
really
the audio.
Appreciate it. Thanks for spending some time with us. When do you get to Seattle?
Hey, I get in Saturday, and I can't wait to get out there. Hope to see you guys. I hear Heward's heading out to Knoxville, and just be singing that song, man. That's a great song, Rocky Top.
Yeah, do you ever get juiced up in the booth, by the way? Like, when I get down to LSU and they say Colin Baton Rouge and Garth comes on, you know, thankfully we're not on camera and I could do a little two-step, the Richard Sherman two-step, or Rocky Top comes on and I'll do a little two. Does Gruden ever get a little juiced up in that booth?
Yeah, I'd probably get too juiced up. I really do. And I'm sure I'm driving Sean McDonough out of his mind. But Love football. Love this time of year. People remember what you do in November. You know that. It's time for some of these teams to rise to the top, and I can't wait to see this one.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy Monday night.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. There you go. There is John Gruden spending some time with us, the coach for Monday Night Football, of course, there on the Venue Kings hotline.
Yeah, and for any of those screaming, like, how could you not ask him about the job? He told us pretty clearly, hey, let's just stay away. Don't want to be asked about it and talk about any of the coaching stuff. So,
but he had to go and bring up Knoxville. Yeah,
and then
he talked.
What a great
come on, man. Come on, coach.
You're right.
Go and bring
That's
up
right.
Knoxville.
Come on, coach.
He talked about us.
Traveling
first.
There at least.
I said, yeah, Brock's heading to Knoxville, and before I got the question,
right.
Brock's heading to Knoxville. Oh. So the question is, coach.
But did you ask it in a Paisley sense, Kyle? Can I get some confirmation of Howdy and the rest of the people in the room? When you had to ask Gruden before he jumped on, was it with a Colin Paisley kind of setup, or was it with a Kyle Brown setup?
Oh, no. Kyle Brown was very confident and clear about what he were going to try
that
to
kid.
Do,
that
and he
kid.
Was very calm and responding to
Absolutely.
What Coach Gruden had to say.
And what was his response, Kyle?
I'm not here to talk about any of that Bleacher Report
nonsense.
There you go.
Damn it! Should have cut it off before then. So Gruden's calling us Bleacher Report nonsense. You don't mean that, John. You don't mean that. I'm not buying it. You don't mean it.
I wanted to get the part about them talking about the lunatics from Knoxville calling on the air.
He doesn't mean that. It's not Bleacher Report stuff. It's the new Bleacher Report, the 2017 Bleacher Report. Not the 2011-2010 Bleacher Report that used a bunch of free labor to build an empire. Very smart of the owners of Bleacher Report. Just let a bunch of idiots write for free, and then we'll make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Pretty solid move.
Can't beat it.
No.
I don't want to be asked about Knoxville, he said. I love Rocky Top, though. He brought us up. He loves us.
He said he gets juiced to it.
Shout out to 710. ESPN over in Seattle. I didn't really want to do groomers, and we've done groomers nonstop. They just keep coming.
They just keep coming. We had to with that one.
No, I know. It's our journalistic integrity. It's our responsibility. It's our journalistic responsibility to share these groomers when stuff like this happens. When he's on Seattle talking about how much he loves Rocky Top, like, what are you doing, John? At this point, Charles, have you changed your mind? Is the bridge burnt? Because the bridge is burnt with me, buddy. If you don't come home this time, it's over. You can go. Not only can you not come here anymore, but you can also go to hell. And if you come here, please, let's delete this podcast of me telling him to go to hell. I didn't mean it, Coach. I love you. Go Vols. Spider 2, why banana?
Oh, he's not burnt on my mind. I don't know. I think the administration won't go back to him after this, which I think takes away the possibility of him flirting with us again. But I don't know. It's hard for me to be out on a coach that hasn't coached here actually was a head coach here to be out on him. Like, I'm not out on Coach Fulmer. I'm not out on the Lane train. But I'm out on Dooley and Butch. You know what I'm saying?
I guess. Do you know? I mean, I
guess. You're about to ask me, do I know what I'm saying? I'm very aware of what I'm saying. I just.
I guess.
I don't know. You're going to keep asking the hot girl to go out. And eventually, there'll be a straw to break the camel's back. I just don't know if this is it.
It's it. It's it for me. If he says no now, he can go to hell.
But if you don't, Coach, come back. We love you. Go Vols.
That's right. If, only if.
If and when.
No, not when he says no.
No. If and when he comes back, he's good. Isn't that where we're going? Or are you going, if he says no, he can go to hell? Where were you going with that?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Because of the stuff this time, if he says no this time, I think he'll lose a good portion of Tennessee fans.
Yeah, he keeps talking about how he doesn't want to or the rumors are that he doesn't want to hurt his relationship in Knoxville, kind of ruin the good thing he's got where he gets treated like a king every time he's here. I better not see anybody snapping any pictures with him next year if he comes to a game, not as the head coach. If better not see anybody snapping pictures in the stands. Oh, look who's here. I don't care who's here. It's now or never, John. Either we're going to do this or delete my number and block it. Did you have something there, Cody?
No, I was just going to say, like, if he doesn't want to tarnish his relationship, then, you know, if he doesn't want to do that, then he needs to stop teasing us. Either come coach or stop, or don't be teasing people.
Just leave it alone, yeah. Come or don't.
Here we go. You ready for this?
Sure.
I got a scenario.
Okay.
Tweeted in for me. Grit Knox just tweeted me, 3 seasons of 4-win Bobo, and Gruden takes you at 2 a.m. What are you doing?
I'm looking at my miserable life and the 4 kids running around and the 40 pounds I've gained, and I'm saying, this is your fault. This is why we're 4-8.
No.
Jerk, leave me alone.
There's no way. You're picking up the phone going, come,
no.
Come on.
And
come,
I'm sorry.
I'm coming to bed.
I'm going to stop and think. I'm going to stop and think and say, damn, it could have been so different. But my life has been ruined, and it's all your fault, you stupid jerk.
I'm saying, come save me, Daddy.
No, it's too late. You're already ruined. He's not going to want you anymore. You went 4-8. He's not going to want you. You've gained 50 pounds. You've popped out 4 kids. You got kids running all over the place now.
At 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m., at 2 a.m. he's drunk. He doesn't really want you.
That's when you're going to want
that's
him.
That's when
most,
the truth's
though.
Come out, though.
No, it's not. It's when you're thinking with your penis or whatever. You're not out here actually wanting somebody.
John said the B word.
I'm sorry. I'm still
but
taking
you're right.
it back.
If someone
you're
texts
right.
you at 2 a.m., they don't love you. Don't fall
no,
for
they,
it.
No, they don't love you. Although, truth, I think, does come out on those late drunken nights, 2 a.m.
No, it doesn't.
You don't
no,
think
it doesn't.
That's truth?
You've never gotten just blitzed or rather inebriated, if you will. Called up a girl, I was like, hey, what you up to? But you haven't done it before because you've been too nervous. But you did.
Because you're drunk and you miss her. Right?
You've never done that. You've never thought to yourself, man, you know, I want to text this girl, I want to call her, but I can't because I'm sober. I can't in my right state of mind. But all of a sudden, once you start getting a little loose.
Okay, here's a better question. You ever felt good about it the next day?
Nope.
Okay.
No, but you did it, though.
Yeah, okay.
But you did it, though.
Okay.
No. Don't come at me like that.
The point is you don't feel good about it. The point is it's a bad decision. That's the whole point of my conversation here.
But
you don't answer Gruden's 2 a.m. text because that's a bad decision.
But
that's
the truths
not
come
something
out.
That you want.
But
no,
the truths
it's
come
your
out.
Urges coming out, sure.
Still
sure.
feelings.
Feelings.
Still
no.
Feelings.
No. It's you being drunk and wanting a release. That's what it is.
A release of feelings, I think, is what it
is.
Yeah.
I'm being for real. I think truth comes out when you get a little inebriated.
You regret it the next day, but I think...
Why do you regret it if it's the truth?
Because
you're
afraid
nervous.
Of the truth.
But you already put it out there when you're drunk.
You
the truth's already out there.
You can't handle the truth.
No, it's because you realize you shouldn't have said it because it's stupid. It's not really how you feel.
Not at all.
But I think the reason you might regret it is because she thinks it's stupid that you still feel that way. And that's why you regret it, because now she knows you still feel, even though it's been too long and you shouldn't still feel. And that's
never
why
a good
you
decision. Point being, whatever. It's never the right decision.
I'll agree with you on that. Yeah.
No, it's not the right decision, but the truth's come out.
Whatever you want to say, whatever. If you believe that drunk thoughts are sober minds, or whatever the hell the saying is,
sober words,
drunk sayings
are
the sober
thoughts.
Man's mind. Like whatever,
no,
just
no. Sober thoughts are drunk words.
Drunk words are sober thoughts. That's what it
Isn't
is.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
You're just being ambushed by this side of the desk.
As Bullwinkle and Rocky are over there arguing with each other. I'm here saying the saying as they're arguing about the saying. I just said that.
I don't think. I don't know. That's exactly.
Damn it, Ben, just send us a break. It's true. You must become one with the coaching search. You must become one with the groomers. I've tried to run from it all show. Try to talk Lakers, Sixers. I've tried to steer clear of it, but the people want groomers, and quite frankly, damn it, I want groomers too. So for today's power rankings, we're going with our favorite, our best groomers. That's right. A power ranking built around groomers. Cody, are you ready?
No.
Ben, hit the music. Ben, hit the music.
Go, go, power rankings. Here to save the universe. I only have like two lines of that. It's power rankings.
I was wanting you to go while the was going, not just go with me. But
I didn't know what to say next. We do this on the fly every time.
With great responsibility, great. Damn it. Number five, best groomers.
You're starting off?
Yes.
Unless you're ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Well, I mean, I have my five.
All right. Well, yeah, you go.
Well, I figured you always end it, so.
That's fine. You go.
Number five.
I just said I was going to go first, and then he asked me. I'm going, you go.
Well, I always started off. I want you to be able to wrap it up the way you want to, since you're your show. I'm just a.
That's fine. Just give me your damn top five.
Number five, what he just said, I love Rocky Top. I get excited thinking about that. When he talks about Rocky Top and his love for Knoxville.
That's a good one.
Okay?
That's a good one.
Number four, the orange ties. When he dresses in the orange and he walks around, I like that one. Number three, when he came to the Outback Bowl in Tampa dressed in orange, we were all excited, and that's now recirculating. That one gets me going. Number two, sitting on the home side while Butch is still the coach. I really enjoy the troll job there. Come on, give it to me. He's here to watch his team, his future team. He is here to escort the old coach out and welcome in a new regime. And number one, never say never.
Never say never about never, nothing.
Never say never about nothing.
Those are your top five groomers. Cody, are you ready yet?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go. These are just the ones I thought of in the last 5 minutes, so I'm trying to come up with these. Number five, I'll go with the sitting in on Butch, like Charles said, was that the South Carolina game? Yeah, it was the South Carolina game.
Yeah, yeah.
And him just casually making appearances. Number four, I'm going to go with what we just heard with the Seattle Rocky Top comments.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I'm going to go with the original one that started this year. And that was when Feinbaum said that he's Tennessee's top target.
That one got you going?
That was the first big one this year that I remember, that, you know, a couple months back.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm going to go with what we saw yesterday with the comments from Blackburn and the story from Stephen Hargis.
That one got me going.
I think that was a good one. And number one, the one that everybody always circles back to, the wife connections.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate groomer, the ultimate one to buy into. I think the fact that Cindy was a cheerleader at UT, her parents live close by.
That's right.
And
that might be the ultimate groomer. That's on my list. It's not number one, but when you put it out there like that, it does feel like it might be the ultimate groomer.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Cindy's parents getting a little older, want to move home. That one does give you goosebumps. Look, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Wifey wants to come home.
Gives you the home connection.
It's what really ties it all in, you know? When people are like, why the hell would he do this? You think, well, the wife. The wife, that's why. She wants to be close to her family. They own land. They want to build houses. My top five wants to coach in college. There's always the kind of groomers that goes, you know, there are a couple of Tennessee jobs, there are a couple of college jobs that he would want to take. Recently, Boomer put out, you know, Gruden actually wants to go to college. That one's like got me going because Ohio State ain't coming open. Notre Dame ain't coming open. John Gruden's not going to coach for Florida. The only job I'd be worried about in college is Notre Dame. So if he wants to coach in college, I mean, it's got to be here, right? Right? Anytime John Gruden talks about college football, anytime he talks about it, I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. He's coming. Number four, coaching staff updates. Every time I hear, oh, he's reached out to so-and-so about joining the staff, that gets the blood going. Oh, Dell Jones? Oh, okay. Kevin Steele? Oh, okay. What, you're putting an all-star staff together? Randy Sanders from Florida State? Oh, wow. The band's getting back together. Okay. Number three was yours, Cody. Wife wants to move home. Wife wants to be close. Cindy. The future first lady of Tennessee. Cindy Gruden. Number two, the offer is on the table. When that one hit last night, when that groomer said the offer is officially on the table, maybe that should be number one. But the groomer that got me the most excited of any groomer was the power move coup. When all the boosters got together, when the groomer was flying around, that Charlie Ergen and the boys were tired of the Haslams running this place, and they're ready to make us great again. The groomer that Ergen's been plotting this for 5 years, that he won the academic side over, that he's been playing it perfectly, Game of Thrones style. He's mapped out how to rise to the top of Tennessee's power brokers. Get it out, Charlie. Get it out. Pony up. $10.5 million. Get it done. And if you don't, give $7 million to Gary Patterson. I don't care. That's the biggest groomer to me, that there's a new shift in power, that people are ready to pony up some money, not only for Gruden, but for any damn body. Get us a winner in here. There are like two names I said yesterday I felt comfortable going to war with Chip Kelly. John Gruden and Gary Patterson. Damn it, get me one of them. $10 million, $7 million, I don't care. It's not my money. You're going to raise the ticket prices anyway. Who cares? Get me Gruden or Patterson. Get it out, Charlie. The power brokers are here. Dish Network power players are here. There's new sheriffs in town. That's my favorite groomer ever.
I thought you were going to go with your hair as Cherokee moment. As far as all-time great groomers, I thought you were going to put that one in there somewhere.
What was that one?
The one where you, a few years ago, you said you were sitting in the casino, the Harris Cherokee, right?
I don't know.
You were sitting in the casino, and you were waiting all night refreshing Twitter instead of hanging out with your friends.
No, that triggers out bad memories.
I can't believe nobody wants to put
it ended up being a no.
It ended up being a no.
But that was a great groomer.
That did make me feel alive. You're right.
Yeah. I thought that might have made your list.
Okay.
What about Travis Stevens on the him getting all excited about Rocky Top? Like that one get you going a little bit?
I think you could
wasn't a groomer. That was just him being there.
I think you could put the players collectively that have come out into one.
No.
Your Haynesworth,
I think you could include Haynesworth in on the groomers.
Put Haynesworth in over.
Apparently, see where he
tweeted my five. I didn't feel good about my five. The wants to coach in college one. Maybe I should have put the players on there instead, but too late. List is out.
List is done.
But the power move by the brokers, the boosters, the booster power coup, that one gets me going because that one's about Tennessee in general. Oh, yeah. I'm itching thinking about it. I need more groomers. Can you hear me scratching? I need more groomers. I'm itching for them.
More, please. We want more.
Please, Sean, have some more.
Give me some groomers. I need the groomers.
RX is Knoxville's premier discount.
Chris Robb says former players sending cryptic tweets is number one from him in his groomer power ranking. Yeah, that one didn't do it for me. That one didn't do it for me.
I think as you feel like all of them, like when you look at player tweets, I think you just look at all of them and think, man, some of these could be troll jobs, and that doesn't really.
Yeah,
if it was like, can you imagine like Peyton?
Yeah.
Or Leonard Little, you know,
yeah, like
cryptic
if
tweets.
Little tweeted right now, hey, Gruden's coming to Knoxville.
Yeah, like.
I guess that's true because the only.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to sound like a jerk, but like the only good player that would like, I feel like, you know.
Might have some knowledge on this information.
That would, you know, it sounds like such a jerk thing to say, but the only one who is Haynesworth. Haynesworth's the best player that's talking about it, and Haynesworth is a psychopath. And I love him. We had him on the show. I love Albert. But, like, I'm like, is anybody telling Albert anything?
No.
See, like, is anyone that's actually connected telling Albert anything?
No, but I think somebody could be telling Kurt Majette things.
I don't think so.
Well, and here's why. I think Kurt Majette is here recent enough to still have connections inside the athletic department. And he is such a good guy and made so many positive connections that if he called and was like, hey, what's going on? They might be like, okay, off the record. This is it.
I don't think so. I don't even know if, like, honestly, at this point, and it probably drives other players crazy, but at this point, I feel like the only person who would get an honest answer is Peyton. I really do feel that way.
And probably. He ain't telling you nothing.
No, and Peyton ain't going to tell you. Yeah, no.
He ain't even got a damn Twitter account.
Peyton's getting his political career off to a good start by showing that he can work these backroom deals and stay quiet, no leaks. Like, I honestly feel like the only player that could call up and get an answer is Peyton. I feel that way. I feel like Peyton could call Curry, and Curry wouldn't lie to him. I feel like if Albert called Curry, Curry would tell Albert just whatever he wanted out there.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, there are others probably that
I don't think there
if,
is.
If former player Johnny Majors, like,
I don't think they're telling Majors anything. Like,
if Johnny Majors called Curry, curiosity.
Okay, maybe Majors.
As far as living players, like,
maybe
Peyton
Majors.
Manning, Johnny Majors, that's about it, probably. I mean, Fulmer's in on it anyway.
I don't want to sound bad, but, like, would you trust Johnny to keep it secret? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Peyton's the only person that would get the honest truth.
You think so?
Like, Majors was asked about it, and he said, only time will tell, which is kind of what some of the other former players are saying. So there's a directive there to kind of let that be the company line. Everyone keeps saying, oh, yeah, we know the secret, but we can't tell you. That just sounds kind of stupid to me. But I honestly feel like the only player that would know concrete info from John Curry is Peyton. I don't think Peyton would tell anybody.
Are we not including Fulmer in this former player thing?
Well, Fulmer's
I think of him more as a coach, but yeah, sure.
No, that's all I was going to because he's a
same
part
with Majors.
Because part of the decision-making heads, if you will. He's obviously not going to say anything. I'm just saying – when you think of a player, we're not including Fulmer. We're including him in the coaching category, yes?
Yeah, I kind of do the same with Majors there, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's all I was asking.
Other than Fulmer, Majors, I mean, maybe, like, yeah, Peyton. I mean,
but
I don't think like Eric Berry's calling up, hey, man, tell me what's going on, or like Barnett.
I don't think any of them have working relationships with Curry either, like where they talk a lot. I would think – I mean, Peyton was on the –
No, but I think that Eric Berry to Fulmer might be a better – they have a connection there.
And honestly,
and I don't know if Fulmer would say anything.
And honestly, I'm not sure they'd tell Fulmer the 100% truth either.
No.
Like, there's a shadow of doubt in my mind that they would tell Fulmer the truth. Like, the whole truth.
Wouldn't be the first time Curry's. Yeah.
God.
Screwed him over, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you had to pick who's more likely to get the honest truth out of John Curry, Peyton Manning or Philip Fulmer?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton, right?
Out of yeah. Curry.
Without, like, no doubt about it. This is a snap reaction. You have to think about it.
Out of Curry, Peyton. But I think...
I think Curry's the only person who knows, like, the actual truth right now, though.
Unless you're Gruden, which I can see Curry be... Or Philip being more of a...
Friends with him?
More in Gruden's corner.
Friends with benefits.
I mean, he might... Hell, you know, Philip Fulmer might be walking around with a...
I mean, the boosters, too. Curry and the boosters, you know.
Fulmer might be walking around with a Fire Football Coaches of America hat on.
Well, see, I think all the boosters have different information.
They're all just parts
of the key. You know what I mean? Like,
key.
I feel like all the boosters, that they vary in terms of importance. They vary in terms of knowledge.
Well, of course, but the real high level, like...
Well, who has the best connection to them?
Curry.
No, Peyton. Like, Peyton...
Well, yeah, but okay, I'm saying...
But sure. Like, Curry's a liaison between them, but sure, but, like, you don't think the Haslams are telling Peyton the honest truth about everything? They're not telling any other players that. There's no other players. I don't think they're telling Fulmer that.
Well, I'm saying when you incorporate multiple people into this, like maybe one of those boosters happens to have a connection with some other player more than they would Peyton. Like maybe like Leonard Little, just an example. Like maybe Leonard Little and Charlie Ergen have a relationship of some sort.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I would imagine that every single power booster looks at Peyton as like, oh.
Well, yeah,
you're the man, Peyton. Let me tell you the secret.
But I don't think you can just say that there's no way that no other player knows, do you? I mean,
I'm not saying there's no way. I'm just saying I don't have confidence in anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't have confidence in anybody else.
Well, all right, so let's say Peyton's the only one with the info.
Yeah.
Think he's leaking it to some former teammates? Maybe.
No, I don't.
Texting
no.
Marcus Nash?
Then Marcus texts Peerless, and then Peerless comes on.
Maybe Peyton tells Leonard Little what's going on.
I honestly don't. I don't think Peyton would really talk to very many former players.
Jeff Saturday?
Maybe Jeff Hall? Maybe he's friends with the kicker on the team.
And Charles talked to Jeff Hall the other day.
That's true. You guys did a TV show together. You guys are boys.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to get to Jeff Hall's ear.
Maybe so.
Jeff, what do you know?
Have you talked to Peyton?
Hey, what's Peyton up to?
Yeah, I don't know. But
whenever all the players got together and went on their tweet storm last night, like, that one didn't top my top five groomers. Like, it was at first a shot of adrenaline, but then when everyone did it, I'm like, okay, calm down. Like, I just don't think anyone's – I don't think Kurt Majette has that pull to know.
I think he does inside the athletic department, but not to Curry specifically. Does that make sense?
I wonder if inside the athletic department people know the truth.
Yeah. It's like this. Think of a janitor in the White House.
Yeah.
He's got to have the utmost security clearance.
Uh-huh.
You don't think anybody in the athletic department will be just fumbling through papers or like cleaning up and just see something on a desk, or the secretary will put calls through or schedule flights, like operations? Curry's not scheduling his own flights. Don't even give me that.
Yeah, they're not just letting Larry from the elementary school into the White House to be the janitor. It's a highly cleared guy, I'm sure. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
He's not, and he might be scheduling all this stuff on his own and just, you know, not tweeting about soccer. But there's no way he's doing all of this on his own and keeping it so under wraps in that athletic department that nobody knows anything. At least somebody's going to be like, oh yeah, I scheduled a flight for John Curry from Knoxville to Charlotte. Where he goes from there, I don't know, but this is what I know. That's a start. And like you said earlier in the show, it all can come back to groomers. Everything can backtrack into Gruden.
So apparently there's some kind of connection back to majors here, too, with the quote, they remember what you do in November. I guess Gruden said that today.
They remember what you do in November.
Apparently Gruden said
that
today.
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
An homage to his old coach, Johnny Majors, who happened to be kind of a Tennessee guy, yeah.
Only time will tell. Let's grab Roger. Roger, thanks for holding, buddy. The floor is yours.
Oh, hey, cool. I did it today.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I just want to ask you, ask Cody and John about. I know FC's offense is good. It's real good. Been good this year, and I just want to ask you about. I guess since you want to win the game, I just want to ask you about the. How do you for defense wise? How do you slow down their how do you put pressure on them? And how do you keep them from getting replayed? And so how you do that? So you know, saying Cody, how you do that? How you slow them down to give them, be able to keep a quote tight? You know, and Cody, for that, you know, how do that? You think?
How do you keep the
John?
The players?
Yeah, keep the LSU game close.
Roger, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think you were saying
slow down the offense.
How do you slow down the running game of Darius Geis and things like that? How do you contain their offense?
I think it's impossible. I don't.
I think you have to stack the box. I think you have to put too many guys in there.
Then Etling's gonna throw it up to Shark and beat you through the air. Like I just.
You got to pick your poison with that offense. I see the question, Roger. But
I admire the thought, but I just don't.
We haven't talked about the LSU game once today in 3 hours.
Tennessee plays LSU this weekend. No, I just didn't. Yeah, Roger. I don't think that it's going to be really, really hard. I think for Tennessee to slow down their offense because they got one of the best running games in the SEC with Darius Geis and Darrell Williams, dude out of the backfield. They're very good. And so if Tennessee does what Charles said and they stack the box against them, Danny Etling, their quarterback, has a better arm than people say he does. He's going to go deep on them.
How do you, if he does that, how does a defense be able to, is any way to stop him if they do that?
You just gotta pray, Roger. It's not gonna happen, buddy. I appreciate the phone call. Hope you have a good day.
Sure,
hopefully, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
tweeter tweets in, I can tell you for a fact the AD is on lockdown in regards to who knows what. I know someone in a head position and they honestly know nothing. This is being done between Curry and a very close few. That's kind of what I think. I don't think there are very many people that know exactly the details of what's going on. Hopefully something comes out soon. We'll do it again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Stay tuned right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.